passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're halfway home. What a busy show it's been, being back and forth between Birmingham and here. We started with Jaden Daniels, the star quarterback for LSU. Hope you were able to grab that. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. I'm going to go ahead and take a shot, and I'm not even going to mention that player's name. Is that okay with you so I can get started?
Go right ahead.
Paul, you know what you need to do? Do you remember growing up in the 70s? I know you do. And the game show with Chuck Barris and the Gong Show.
I remember that show.
You need to get a big old gong out there. And the black guy that comes out has a feud with Larry. And every time Daryl calls, he needs to go out there and just hit that big. Yes. He needs to come out there
K-Mac, I think, ran Larry off. K-Mac, what's going on? Why did you run Larry off?
Okay, yeah, man.
We have to go back to Birmingham right now, and we'll give it to PB with Mississippi State's coach and players.
I caught me some plays out.
You know, thank you, Paul Feinbaum, back here over at SEC Tip-Off with Cam Matthews and someone who said you need to be normal, don't be weird. Chris Jans, is that the advice you just gave to head coach right here before we started?
Just play it cool.
He thinks he's part of the staff, I swear.
He might as well be, right? I mean, how many teams do we feel like we've got 45 new players on this roster? Then we go back and be like, well, this starting five looks a whole hell of a lot like the last starting five we saw last year, Chris.
Yeah, it's a feel-good deal. You know, definitely different than last year when you had to learn all the players you inherited and try to piece together a roster for our inaugural season as a staff. And when you got that many guys coming back, it just makes your job a lot easier, especially in the summer when you're trying to get everybody on the same page. And, you know, if I need to run a similar set, I can throw five guys out there and I don't have to teach every spot. So it's been nice that way.
Cam, you have a guy that's a leader on your team like Tolu go down. You also have Keyshawn that's down for now, but they're coming back. But who kind of steps up in that leadership role to continue to carry the torch for your basketball team?
I feel like myself, I had to take a bigger role than what I was already planning on as a leader coming into this year. But guys like DJ, Shaq, Rams, people that's been here that know the system sort of, I feel like we got a bigger role to teach the new guys how things are run and start with.
So we'll take it from there then. When you're encouraging guys that are currently on a team or new guys, what's your approach? Are you the guy that's right in their face, the vocal guy, showing them and telling them exactly how to do it?
I feel like I'm more vocal, but Jans feel like I feel like I gotta be more lead by example. I gotta step out and be more as an example type of leader. But that's something I'm working on right now.
So basically, he said, don't talk about it,
be about it. That's his motto.
Can I interject?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So what I told him is he has an ability to be an excellent leader.
Yeah.
Okay? He competes. Mm. If it's 5-on-5, if it's game time, he's going to compete, right? Sometimes in practice, it's practice, right? And I want him to be verbal because he says the right stuff. But right. We all know you can't be verbal unless your motor's going all the time.
No doubt.
Everybody else looking at you like, come on, man. Like, you're loafing it too. Like, how can you talk to me about it? So I'm trying to get him to go, hey, you should be an excellent leader. And he's here for a reason. But I just need him to go a little bit harder every day, and then who knows what can happen.
There you go.
This part of year, right, we it's kind of, you turn the page, right, and you start saying, we're gonna start promoting basketball, we're ready to go. For you, is it, you already know who your five are outside of when Tolu and all these guys get healthy, is it plays you're working on, is it chemistry, what's the one thing at the top of your to-do list each day right now?
Well, fortunately, we still have competition. We've got guys that are fighting for minutes. Everybody talks about our five returning starters, but anyone that knows, you know, our approach and how we go about doing things, you know, we want them to revel in the competition. We want to push each other every single day, and we have enough players now that we're able to do that. So we're still in that mode, but at the same time, you know, every coach in America gets to about this point in the year and says, gosh, I wish I could start over. I wish I had put this in and that in, because the games are coming and you want to not feel unprepared. So we're in that mode of, you know, getting into late game situations and, you know, all your zone stuff and, you know, adding to your sets. But it's fast and furious right now.
And I can answer that. When I went to see them practice, believe it or not, they were working on defense once again. Trying to score 50 points on them is like herding cats. But when you think about Tolu Smith, right, and what he's going through right now, I think Bulldog fans probably want to know, what's the update on Tolu?
Yeah, I've been asked that quite a few times, rightfully so, yeah. Since it happened. And it was a tough couple days.
Yeah.
It was pretty dark and stormy around Starkville when the news spread. And I remember when it happened on a Tuesday, and we were so fortunate, I thought, as a program, that we were off on Wednesday. It was a scheduled day off, so we all could take some time to digest what had just happened to Tolu and his family, and certainly our basketball team, and for our staff to try to figure out, you know, what's the message going to be? You know, how do we have to tweak, you know, what we've been doing to put our team in position to be successful? Because it's not as if, you know, we lost a role player, and it's not as if we lost someone for a few games.
Right.
You know, this is significant amount of games that will be lost, but you know, that's what we're in the middle of doing. But Tolu himself, you know, he's a grown man, obviously.
Yeah.
And he went into his own little world for a couple days. I'm calling him, he's not answering, which isn't par for the course. I'm texting him, he's not responding.
Yeah.
But I was talking to his mother, you know, and his father, so I knew, you know, he was good.
Right.
And it took him a couple days, and then, you know, he's been back to himself, and he, you know, he has an unbelievable attitude right now. He's already attacked his rehab, and you know, he's telling us he's going to be back, you know, sooner than the doctors say. But we'll see when we get to that point in the season.
Coach, I know everyone's always trying to improve, unless you're close to perfect, like Fish over here. With
hey, I'm over here too, Pat.
Oh, boy, well, that's right. Yeah,
thank you. He didn't bring you up.
No. He's got a lot. Lewis got a lot to do. Work with that guy over there. But and we talked about the returning players you have, and that's fantastic. But what, looking at it, what did you want to improve on? Bringing in your newcomers.
Seriously?
That was I'm leading the witness, Your Honor.
That's the biggest softball you've ever
I'm leading the witness,
life.
Your Honor.
Yeah, I'm going to guarantee you, would you agree with this, Cam, that we're going to be a better three-point shooting team?
Hey, go away!
Yeah, I bet the money on that, too.
Yeah, okay. Because you know what? We were last. So all we have to do is beat one team to have it.
I didn't want
to
bring that up.
We're going to be better than we were last year. But in all seriousness, that was obviously an area that we had to attack in recruiting. And, you know, if we can get practice into the game, which you never know if you're able to do that, we're going to shoot the ball at a better clip for sure.
I want to go back to just the reaction when you were talking about Tolu being a little bit banged up and kind of checking out a little bit. Cam, you went out there and you're shaking your head. That was rough times.
Yeah, I felt some type of way about it because everybody know Tolu's my guy, but when I called him and texted him, he didn't respond to me. I felt some type of way about it. I felt hurt as a friend. But, you know, he reached back out to me, you know what I'm saying? We're back cool now, so, yeah, still my dog.
But with that being said, I mean, there's a lot of new conversations being had throughout college sports, just with the transfer portal. How much is that family aspect that's always huge kind of in the Starkville area permeate through this team?
It's definitely a big thing, especially with the guys I've been around, guys like Tolu, DJ. I've been playing with DJ for a minute, but you know, guys that's been here, I feel like we just built up such a good chemistry that we kind of just got a feel for what we're gonna do and where we're gonna be at in games. So I feel like that's always a plus whenever it comes to the conference.
Coach Jans, last year, I don't know if there were a lot of expectations out of Mississippi State. I definitely don't think a lot of people expected you all to get to the tournament, but you did get there, right? So for you, going into this season, despite the injuries that have occurred, what are the expectations like for your basketball team now?
They're different. They're definitely different. More people are talking about us, especially prior to Tolu's injury on a national level, on a regional level. Not even, you know, bringing up the fans that, you know, will come up to us and, you know, talk about crazy type finishes. But that's good. I mean, let's be honest, that's kind of what you want to do. What you want to create is an expectation from people across the country. And that means that, you know, we've got good players and we're winning basketball games. And, you know, I like the direction that our program's going. It's certainly not satisfied with where we're at. We've got a lot of work to do, but I think we're headed in the right direction.
Coach, I want to ask you quickly about the coffee intake that you were so famous for. And Cam, he had said he had to cut down before practice because he didn't want to do that to the players because he was so hyped up. So have you seen a change in him? Because he said he's cut down on the caffeine.
How many are we talking about? What was it, like 3 or 4 cups?
It's,
or what?
I don't do numbers. It's a certain time.
It's pots.
Of the day.
It's by pots.
It's time. No, time of the day.
Got it.
I wouldn't say it's much of a change. I feel like he's still kind of the same person, but... yeah, it's definitely been a little bit different. He hasn't been on like edge like I would used to seeing him, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's still that guy though.
Do you ever drink coffee?
Oh no, that's not my thing. Nah.
Well, when you get old like us, you need a little kick. Then,
yes.
Then you'll do it.
It's called being addicted to it.
Calm, collected, Chris Chans.
That's right. Right, Cam?
Yeah.
He took a deep breath before he said it. Cam, can't wait to see it, man. Coach, best of luck going forward, and we'll see how the hump's going to be rocking Mississippi State basketball. Get everybody healthy and make a run. Back to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back the rest of the way with your phone calls, and let's check in with Expired up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, went to Knoxville this weekend. Didn't get to see you. We came from Nashville, and it was very hard to the traffic's bad. Let me put it like that, Paul. But Knoxville, University of Tennessee, the admiral who led us on this boat, bunch of top-notch people. That's all I can say, Paul, bunch of top-notch people. You ought to be very, very proud to have your degree from University of Tennessee because the people there are second to none traveling to a game. Never been more impressed, and it really made a tough game worth going to even though we lost because the people were so great. Really a good time.
Glad to hear that, Expired.
You still there, Paul?
Yes, sir. I'm
you
really
there?
Glad
I
to hear that.
Hear yes, sir. The Admiral, man, his boat, we went sailgating, it was great. But anyways, I've been a big Jimbo supporter, even through the tough year last year, because I've been a coach, and it's hard when people start calling for your head. And I'm not going to sit here and call for his head, but it's time. It's time, Paul. And I really think the guy wants to win. I think he might want to win too much, and that makes him too conservative sometimes. I don't really know how else to explain it. He's done a lot of good things. He says the right thing, but we can't get it done on the field. And I don't know, Paul. I'm at a loss. The Aggie Nation is defeated. We have wonderful players that play super hard, but they come up short. I don't know what it's going to take to win, but we got to have a change. And the one name I'm going to give you, Paul, and I'm going to leave you with this. I hear all these crazy names, Dion, Lanning, Schulman, whatever the hell his name is. The one name that could do it is Aaron Glenn, defense coordinator at Detroit. So anyways, I'm not going to start speculating, but it's time, Paul. Had a great time in Knoxville. Thank you for the University of Tennessee people and giggle.
Thank you very much. Interesting call there from a loyal fan. Daryl is up next in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. How are you making out today?
We're doing great.
Listen to this. My knee went out, right? And I had to go to the orthopedist. And he gave me a gel shot in my knee. And come to find out that gel's made from a rooster comb. And I told my wife, if I start crowing in the morning, she better call the doctor.
That's great.
But I went by the barbershop today.
Yeah, what's happening?
Oh, man, they're optimistic. Well, first of all, they're glad to have Army coming to town. The talk from all the customers and the barbers, we feel like that's the first time a military school has been to the Tiger Stadium. So that's good. And then everybody's optimistic about our chance with Alabama. They don't think Alabama's as good as they were in the past. So everybody's optimistic that we got a chance. And Candace wants to start cutting LSU football players' hair, so she told us to go find some. I said, yeah, the best chance you got for that is cutting Paul Feinbaum's hair. But I found out something on the sports that I didn't know. This team has broke an LSU, set an LSU record that's never been set before. They won 6 games in a row passing over 500 yards, and I thought that was an amazing statistic.
But, yeah, you know, Darryl, thanks for the call. Just talking to Jaden earlier, it's remarkable what this offense has done. And, you know, I didn't want to say it to him, but without Jaden Daniels, I mean, this team would have 2 more losses. I mean, he's worth that much. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Anthony is in Arizona. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Real quick. I don't have anyone to cheer for this weekend or root against. I root against CU because of Coach Prime, and I love the Georgia Bulldogs. But I just want to let Legend and all the Alabama fans, especially my first cousin down in Meridian, Mississippi, that I'll be pulling for Alabama. And that's all I want to say, and I enjoy listening to your show, sir.
Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Michael is in Florida. Hello, Michael.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask if you have any recommendations for someone trying to get into sports journalism.
Well, let me get a little bit of information. I talked to some students the other day from Tennessee. I met with students along the trail this year. Give me some parameters on, are we talking about you or someone close to you?
Me personally, you know, I went to college. I have a degree. I have a full-time job, but I got a true passion of sports. Love taking sports pictures, and I used to live next to the Miami Marlins Stadium, so I'd go to the games and write articles about what I saw. So I don't know. I find it hard to try to go to games all the time, write and take pictures and try to maintain a full job. And it's kind of hard to get into, journalism fresh for some of my age. So just wondering if
would you say your expertise is more with photography or in terms of writing and reporting?
I would say photography, but I like how writing a full article, maybe not a full article, but, you know, writing less than 1,000 words, 500 words about, some pictures is always fun.
Here's what I would recommend. I don't know where you live, but I would what part of the state do you live in?
South Florida.
I would do it on an ad hoc basis where, you know, find some organization where, you know, again, the media is so weird these days, but where maybe you could just experiment with it and find out, first of all, whether you really want to do it. I know you've done it in the past, but it's a very difficult thing. I'm not discouraging you, but I don't want you to give up what you're doing, where I think you could still do it on a limited basis and get an idea of really what your talent level is.
Yeah, all great pointers. I appreciate that. And, this is my second time on the call, a little flustered, but someone said they're going to put being on your show on the resume, and I might just have to do it now after being on the show twice.
You know, that might – here's what you do. You walk in some news organization and tell them we sent you. And it's a little complex without knowing more, but – I would find some. I mean, there's a million places out there, whether it's a digital operation or some sort of website, sports site, where you could at least get some, kind of get your feet wet on a basis, and then make a determination. I mean, I hate to see somebody give up something to dive in, because it's a fairly complicated business right now to make money in. If I could be so blunt.
Yeah, no, you're totally right there. I have a friend who used to write for free for about a year. So,
most people do it because they really are passionate, and that's great. And I'm all for it because I've done that a long time, and I'm as passionate today as I've ever been. But it's a matter of of making sure that it's something that you really want to do. Hey, thank you very much. All the best to you. Let's check out Elliot in Ohio. Hello, Elliot. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I like the gong idea from the Gong Show, but I have a suggestion as well. McAfee now has a sidekick, A.J. Hawk from the Buckeyes. And
is he the guy that never blinks? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know A.J., but are we sure A.J. Hawk is alive?
I think they just didn't
embalm this guy and put him in a chair.
But here's what I was thinking. With parity in football and an olive leaf to the other side, since it's going to be more evenly weighted, you might need a sidekick. And I have some suggestions for you.
Please.
Bobby, the General Bob Carpenter, Dustin Fox, or Beanie Wells.
Yeah, you know, I've met Bobby a few times. He certainly is knowledgeable. Who's the other guy?
Beanie Wells would be good. They could take calls. Dustin Fox needs a job. You know, okay. All these guys could do something.
Well, thank you. Hey, listen, I'll put them down. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against the break. We still have 90 minutes remaining. We began with Jaden Daniels here a couple of hours ago, and we have plenty of time for you to chime in.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. A little bit of a different type of show today. We normally talk to John early, but we were busy. But John has arrived. Hey, John.
Yeah, I woke up late.
You know what? I did too.
Hey, real quick, Brock Bowers, and I'm only saying that so I can put a dollar in your jar, okay?
By the way, you're getting fined for mentioning Brock Bowers.
Oh, you are too. You just brought it up. Hey, Paul, before I get to my questions, two good movies to see, Oppenheimer. It's just a great insight into the Manhattan Project.
I definitely
Project.
Want to see that. I just haven't been able to see it since it came out, but the next time I get a 3-hour block
break
on a Saturday, I'm heading there
next year. And, I'm a big Denzel Washington fan. So Equalizer 3 okay. was great. If you've seen the first two, it was shot over in Italy. In fact, we were, over there in the town of Mamuffli, and, they had the advance, team over there. So it was kind of neat. They shot the movie a month after we were there, but it's a great movie. As always, anything that Denzel Washington does.
He's great.
Anyways, I'm going to stick with Penn State still. I know you're on the other side of the coin. And I'm predicting Alabama win by as much as 21. I think we've seen the best of Joe Milton. I think he's a starter in his sixth year by way of attrition.
Yeah, John,
and I think
let me interrupt. You said we've seen the best? When?
Wait, best of Joe Milton? Or,
Joe Milton, right.
He's a great young man, but...
Fine young man.
He's stiff in the pocket, can't hit the side of a barn, and so on and so forth. It's unfortunate. And I thought it was poorly managed, Tennessee coach on the field last week. So Matt and Expire have thrown away Jimbo, but I want to ask you two questions. One is... is this a one-year deal for Bobby Petrino, you think? And secondly, Sam Pittman's been through a lot. He's had a coaching turnover. He lost 32 players to the transfer portal. But, again, he's the head coach. Is he in trouble as well?
I think Sam can come back a little bit the rest of the way. I think Jimbo's is a really an intriguing situation where he's got a couple of tweener games. He can't afford – a misfire. He's got two brutal road games, Ole Miss and LSU. And let's play the chalk. Let's say he loses both of them. That's 7-5. I think it's really a matter of what happens in those other games. I think he has, South Carolina and maybe Mississippi State. I'm just guessing here on the schedule. But
he's 25-20 in the SEC, Paul.
So I think if he can get to 7-5, and it's I think he survives, but John, I'm seeing a lot more about him than I thought we would be seeing. I mean, we were there 3 weeks ago, and I felt like the mood was really good. He was not in dire straits. Remember the important thing here. Athletic director gave him the extension. There is an interim president who is a candidate to become president as well. So there's a lot of politics at A&M. There always are politics at every school, and it's hard to read that room yet.
You know, I think Barrett Solis put it well. Back in the Florida State, was he? Did he win the national championship with a good quarterback, or was it that good quarterback that won him a championship?
Yeah, I've seen some stats out there about Jimbo's record with Jameis Winston and without it. And without it, he's a below average coach.
Yeah, agree. Good show today, Paul.
Thank
good callers.
You very much. Let's continue here. Corky is up next. Hello, Corky.
All right, Paul. So my wife do not like you at all, but I'm going to tell you
what happened. Don't tell me that.
No, she don't. So she walks in today and she says, Paul Feinbaum said he's done with Deion Sanders. Neither one of y'all like him. Why is that? I said, well, me personally, I think he should have stayed at Jackson State, help out all the black kids there. He's not doing nothing here to me, but there he would have made something of himself. And she said, well, Paul, why Paul Feinbaum? I said, I don't think Paul do not like him. Nobody really like him because he come in, he boasts a lot, and we want him to gain the respect like everybody else did in time. Nobody wanted him to come and succeed from day one. I said, he talks too much about himself. And yeah, everybody wanted him to fall flat on his ass, and that's what he's doing.
Well, Corky,
but I'm gonna shut up.
Well, tell Mrs. Corky this, okay? I do like Deion Sanders, and I've been very impressed with what he's accomplished. But all I've said this week is that his story is essentially over now. There are more important things to worry about than Deion. And I thought he handled that game really poorly. I did not like his son sending out an Instagram sales pitch at halftime. I mean, that is really unconscionable. Especially talking about how we're beating the other team 29-0 and this game's over. I mean, that's just – I realize we're living in a new world, but there is no place
that's not
in
our
any world,
world
for
we
that.
We don't like – well, she said we was just waiting for him to fall or go down.
No, I'm not. I think he's been great for college football.
I was, and she said, why is that he done so much for Colorado? I say, okay, all those kids in Colorado are 4 or 5 stars. They're going to make it anyhow. But Jackson State, kids that was unfortunate to get scholarships and all that, that's where he was helping out. He could have been an Eddie Robinson guy. He didn't need the money. He just got a big head. I'm being honest with you. And it's coming back to bite him in the ass, and I hope he loses every game. I like him as a person, but as a coach, I don't.
Okay, Corky. You're entitled to it.
Thank you.
I do like Deion very much. I just think that he handled the platform very well. I mean, the first 3 or 4 weeks of this season, we have never seen anything like that. By the way, we played that clip a couple of minutes ago from Get Up this morning where Heather Dinich had no SEC teams in the top four. Georgia was nowhere to be found, and I'm surprised we haven't heard more about that. That was remarkable. Let's take a short break here. We have a long way to go on a Wednesday afternoon. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Let's check in with Miss Pat. Hello, Miss Pat.
Hey, Paul. I didn't get to watch yesterday because I had a meeting, but I understand there was some controversy involving Squirrel. And so... I'm not sure what it was, but somehow on X or Twitter, I came to his attention. Yep. And do you remember the first time I called your program was in January 2022? And not too much later, he came on your program and told everyone in the viewing audience that he didn't like me. Well, he is back to his fetish, I think, his foot fetish, because he is now sending me pictures of my feet again.
Really?
Yes, he did. Anyway, so I sent him a better picture of him. I took a better picture of my toes, and I sent those to him, but I didn't hear back from him. So, anyway, what do you think?
Well, that's I'll let Squirrel. Miss Squirrel, I hate to hear you guys feuding, Miss Pat.
Well, you know, he's never liked me. Anyway, I tried to stay on for longer than 45 seconds today, but I thought you would hang up on me when I
Pat, I only hang up when we're rushing to get to a break.
Oh, okay. Well, that was my misperception.
Well,
anyway,
somebody did tell me that he took a wicked shot at you on social media. So I'm not trying to get between you and Squirrel.
Oh, that's okay. Anyway, thanks, Paul. Love your show.
Thank you, Pat. I don't know what's going on there. Tricia is in Georgia. Hello, Tricia.
Hey, Paul. I watch your show every day.
Thank you.
One of my favorite things to do. And I'm a big Alabama fan, Alabama grad. Yesterday, you had on Tyler Booker, who is an offensive lineman for Alabama. And I think it was last night I was watching Cole Kublik and Roman Harper, and they were discussing how terrible the Alabama offensive line was. And Cole was just dissecting what they were doing wrong. My question to you is, I'm sure if he's doing that, other coaches are doing that. And if they know what the problem is, and Alabama has all these five stars, why does Alabama's offensive line just continue to be so bad?
Well, Tricia, I don't have a great explanation. I thought Booker talked about just some unfamiliarity, but we're 7 weeks in. That shouldn't be really the answer. I think when you have a freshman at the most critical position on the line, as talented as he was last year in Iowa, there's a lot of learning. And I don't know the techniques of what Tommy Reese is doing well enough to really get deep in the weeds here, but I'm a little bit concerned about the changing philosophy, whatever the philosophy is. And I think the chaos with the quarterback situation may not have helped either. It's pretty obvious who the quarterback is and was always going to be.
So is it the coach's fault for not teaching them? Because Cole was talking about they drop their hands, they're not balanced and all this stuff.
Patricia,
so,
Cole was a all SEC lineman, so I'll defer to him. But I mean, every coach has different or varying techniques. I just think it's a matter of youth. And from what little I do know about that position, there's a lot of coordination that goes on, and you're not seeing it. And I think when you start pressing, you make mistakes, and that's why you're getting all these pre-snap penalties. Hey, thank you very much, Trisha. Appreciate the call. Let's check out Mike in California. Hello, Mike.
Paul, I just want to talk about coaches. They always talk about, oh, he's a great coach. The only reason he's a great coach is because he has a great quarterback. Great quarterbacks make great coaches. Look at Belichick. He's an average coach right now because he lost Brady. Look at Elway, Shanahan after, Bear Bryant had some of the best quarterbacks in the world. Joe Namath, the Snake Stabler, Steve Sloan. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. It's the quarterback, and they're always the first round picks. Great quarterbacks make great coaches. End of story.
Yeah, but Mike, great coaches have to get those great quarterbacks. So they just don't show up with the Federal Express truck. Johnny is in Columbia, South Carolina.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, Johnny.
Okay, great. I just wanted to, I was wondering about your opinion on this whole Shane Beamer situation. I mean, you got the coach broke his foot because he's mad about this crazy collapse. I mean, is it over for Spencer Rattler? Is Shane Beamer done in Columbia? I don't know what's going on,
I'm not exactly
retired.
Sure. He didn't explain. I wish he would have explained a little bit more. My guess is he walked into the locker room after the game and kicked a Gatorade tub or something. I really don't know, but he is still really well-liked by South Carolina people. He's having a bad season. I think we can establish that. And you know, he's still got a couple of critical games remaining. Right now, he's got a fight to get into a bowl game. Hey, thank you for the call. John is up next in Florida. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Long time. I hadn't had a chance to call. Been working and all that. But
thank you.
Georgia fan. I like Alabama as well. And I also listened to Heather Dennis talking about her top four. And my biggest problem, I guess, is two things. One, she has Michigan in there. And Michigan hadn't played anybody.
No.
A ranked team either. Yet she had them in there. And then my second thing is that when I think about the SEC and I think about the possibility of getting into not just past SEC championship, but getting into the playoffs, I think the SEC's only two hopes. I'm a huge SEC fan, would happen to be Bama or Georgia. That's just the way I feel. I could be wrong, but I think those two teams, based on the caliber of players, based on those coaches, the pedigree being there, playing in the big games, being able to handle that, I think that's our only shot this year.
Well, you know, John, you may be right. And, you know, I mean, Alabama's still got some negotiating and navigating to do. But, listen, Heather is a close friend of mine, so I'm hesitant to criticize her. I have my opinion. She has hers. Having said that, there's no way in the world you can leave Georgia out of the top four. So I'll leave it there. Fritz is up next in Missouri. Hello, Fritz.
Hello, Paul. First time caller.
Thank you.
Turn my TV off to make sure you can hear me here.
Thank you. I hear you great.
Town called
well.
Festus, Missouri. You got me?
I do.
Okay, good. Well, listen, great show as always. I found you years and years ago when I was looking at the internet and radio stations, and I tried, like everybody, to get in, but you're a popular man and a popular show, and I commend you for all your callers. Actually, I enjoy the hell out of each and every one of them.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.